From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Environment and Forestry Ministry explains the benefits of water conservation for the Earth at the World Water Forum. Trade Ministry states imported goods for Indonesian migrant workers will no longer be restricted. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry will voice the benefits of water conservation to protect the earth at the 10th World Water Forum in Bali. Quoted by Antara, Director of Watershed Management Planning and Supervision, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Muhammad Sapari Sudaryanto, when met by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday, said that water conservation is useful for mitigating the impact of climate change. Water conservation is usually carried out by replanting forests or reforestation, which can also absorb carbon emission.
Jadi konservasi air tadi akan punya manfaat lainnya.
So water conservation will have other benefits, namely controlling climate change. So this is what we will declare there, and hopefully this can increase the participation of the parties, including in funding.
Peran serta para pihak termasuk dalam pendanaan ya.
By voicing the link between water conservation and preventing climate change at the World Water Forum, he hopes that Indonesia can get innovative funding assistance to mitigate the impact of climate change. In this international forum, the ministry also wants to encourage the establishment of World Lake Day so that it can become a basis for restoration of lakes in Indonesia. Director of Imports at the Directorate General of Foreign Trade, Ministry of Trade of the Republic of Indonesia, Arief Sulistyo, stated that there are no longer any restriction on the number or type of shipment or imported goods belonging to Indonesian migrant workers to their homeland. In the socialization of Ministry of Trade Regulation No. 7 of 2024 regarding online import policies and regulation in Jakarta on Thursday, Arief said this was in accordance with the limited ministerial-level coordination meeting. In the meeting, it was decided that Indonesian migrant workers' imported goods were goods sent by Indonesian migrant workers who were working abroad and were not for trade.
Sesuai dengan hasil rakortas tingkat menteri diputuskan
the first is the import of goods from Indonesian migrant workers based on the result of the ministerial level national coordination meeting. It was decided that the goods sent by the Indonesian migrant workers were goods belonging to the Indonesian migrant workers sent by Indonesian migrant workers who were working abroad. Then the next thing was that the goods sent by Indonesian migrant workers were not for trade. Of the two, we finally agreed that this point does not need to be regulated in the Ministry of Trade's regulation regarding import policies and regulation. So Indonesian migrant workers' shipment are not regulated in the Trade Minister's regulations. Arief added that to ensure whether goods were sent by Indonesian migrant workers or not, currently there is system integration between the Indonesian Migrant Workers Protection Agency, BP2MI, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the Directorate General of Customs and Excise, Ministry of Finance. He also said that for the Indonesian migrant workers' imports of goods, there are no restrictions on types of goods, except for prohibited goods and dangerous goods. He revealed with the existence of Minister of Trade Regulation No. 7 of 2024, there will no longer be any problems with goods sent from Indonesian migrant workers. Minister of Communication and Information Budi Aris Setiadi said that the global technology company Apple is still giving a positive signal to invest in Indonesia. Quoted by Antara, when met by journalists in Depok, West Java Thursday, Minister Budi Ari dismissed the issue circulating busily on social media regarding the cancellation of the company from the United States from investing in Indonesia. He also said that currently, the government is still looking for the best incentive formula to attract the company led by Tim Cook to invest in Indonesia. The step is currently being reviewed by the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment. The Central Java Chambers of Commerce and Industry Kadin stated that business opportunities for education, tourism and creative economy in Malaysia are open through business cooperation between countries. Quoted by Antara, Chairman of the Central Java Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Hari Nuryanto, at the 2024 Central Java Malaysia Pavilion Exhibition in Semarang Thursday, said that various business potentials could be developed considering the similarities in Malaysian and Indonesian culture. Hari hopes that this business forum, which is being held regularly for the fifth time, will result in mutually beneficial coordination and collaboration between the two countries. Meanwhile, CEO of the University Kebangsaan Malaysia Satellite Study Center, Shahrul Mizan Ismail, said that 20 entrepreneurs attended the forum. According to Shahrul, various types of businesses such as food and beverages, cosmetics, supplements, essential oils, batik, education and hotels can be developed by entrepreneurs. Let's move on to the international news, where Palestinian journalist Nasser Abu Bakr received the 2024 UNESCO's Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Award at the 31st World Press Freedom Conference in Santiago, Chile on Thursday. He accepted the award on behalf of all Palestinian journalists who were selected as this year's winners. In his statement, Nasser admitted that he was both happy and sad about the death of the Palestinian press crew.
I feel joy and pride, but it's a joy mixed with a sadness for the loss of the martyrs of the Palestinian press. It is also mixed with determination and willingness to hold accountable and prosecute the criminals who killed this constellation.
Nasser hopes for peace for Gaza and the entire Palestinian territory, especially for Gaza journalists who he believes have not slept during the 7 months of war, but remain committed to the principles of ethics of journalism. He claimed that the Palestinian Journalist Syndicates, or PGS, would remain committed to the principles of press freedom and the protections of journalists. During the event, UNESCO also released a report which found that 70% of environmental journalists were attacked or threatened because of their work. The head of the European Union, Ursula von der Leyen, on Thursday announced aid of $1 billion, or around 16 billion rupiah, for Lebanon from 2024 to 2027. Quoted by AFP, von der Leyen conveyed this during a visit to Lebanon, which is mired in the economic crisis as well as the worsening migrant crisis, that the threat of war with Israel. He added that his side wanted to contribute to Lebanon's socio-economic stability. The European Commission's president said the aid was designed to strengthen basic services such as education and health. He called for implementing reforms and said that Lebanon needed positive economic momentum to provide opportunities for businesses and its citizens. Von der Leyen said the European Union was committed to maintaining open legal pathways to Europe and resettling refugees there, but at the same time would rely on cooperation to prevent illegal migration and combat migrant smuggling. Lebanon has been facing a prolonged financial crisis and nearly 7 months of border clashes between the Shiite Hezbollah movement and Israel. The United Nations Children's Fund UNICEF Indonesia visited the Jerewe Health Center in West Sumbawa Regency, West Nusa Tenggara, one of the health service facilities that is supported by water and sanitation facilities for infection prevention and control. As reported by Antara, UNICEF's Indonesia's Water, Sanitation and Hygiene Specialist, or WASH, Muhammad Zainal, on Friday said that there are still many community health centers in Indonesia that do not have adequate water facilities, so that UNICEF is focusing on this support. UNICEF and Indonesian Ministry of Health have supported 146 community health centers to improve water and sanitation facilities, and Zainal hopes that the government will increase this program to all community health centers. Meanwhile, head of the Jerewe Community Health Center, Iwan Setiabudi, said that UNICEF supports help his site face the challenge of providing clean water. The water sanitation and hygiene services are an important aspect of preventing infections, reducing antimicrobial resistance, ending preventable maternal and newborn death, and responding to outbreaks and emergencies. The support is provided to welcome the World Water Forum in Bali on May 18 to 25, 2024. Listener, now let's move on to commentary.
Today's commentary is on new Prime Minister of Solomon Islands elected. Solomon Islands lawmakers elected former Foreign Minister Jeremiah Manele as the new Prime Minister on Thursday, May the 2nd. He won 31 votes in a close ballot of the 49 MPs who won the general election on April the 17th. In his first speech, Manele promised to govern the Solomon Islands with integrity and prioritize national interest. As quoted from japantimes.co.jp, he promised to form a national unity government that would focus on improving the economy and making progress toward economic recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. Manele's promise in his first speech shows that his government is different from Sugawara's government, which was harsh and considered and divisive. However, regarding foreign policy, he did not explain clearly. Many people predict that Manele will adopt or continue the previous government's foreign policy. Formerly, during his 5-year tenure as Prime Minister, Manasseh Sugawara embraced a pro-China foreign policy agenda. The Pacific Island nation is known to have signed a series of security-related agreements with Beijing. If it is true that Jeremiah Manele continued the pro-China policy, many people fear that Solomon Islands' relations with its traditional partner countries, such as the United States, Australia, and New Zealand, will be strained. This will have consequences in bilateral relations between Solomon Islands and these countries. Despite continuing his pro-China policy, Manele is believed will not be taking a confrontational stance in relations with Western countries, including Australia, the United States, and New Zealand. As former foreign minister, Manele has more experience with international partners compared to Manasseh Sugawara. It is believed that Manele will be careful in handling his relations with Western countries. Perhaps realizing this, the leaders of Western countries, one of which is Australia, did not show any concern about Manele's election. President Ulang Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese stated that he was ready to collaborate closely with the Solomon Islands. On the social media platform, the Australian Prime Minister looks forward to working with Manele. It is hoped that Australia's attitudes of not having to worry will be followed by other Solomon Islands traditional partner countries, including the United States and New Zealand, so that harmonious and peaceful relations in the Pacific can continue to be maintained. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with May 3, 1985, when Elias Pikal wins the IBF World Boxing title. Elias Pikal, born in 1960, is an Indonesian boxer from Maluku. On May 3, 1985, he won the International Boxing Federation IBF Super Flyweight title. He received this title after winning against South Korean boxer Chun Judo in a match held at Istora Senayan in Jakarta. In the match from the first round, Elias Pikal carried out attacks. As the eighth round was about to end, Elias violently fired a short, straight left punch which hit Judo Chun's jaw. The boxer from South Korea then lost his balance and fell. He was no longer able to continue the match, so that Elias was declared the winner by TKO. That day, Elias Pikal officially became World Super Flyweight Champion. In this way, Pikal became the first boxer from Indonesia to fight for a world title. Let's move on to May 3, 1991, when the Windhoek Declaration for the Development of a Free, Independent and Pluralistic Press, World Press Freedom Day, occurred. World Press Freedom Day is now commemorated every May 3rd. This date refers to the Windhoek Declaration for the Development of a Free, Independent and Pluralistic Press issued by newspaper journalists throughout Africa in Windhoek, Namibia on May 3, 1991. The day was later designated as a World Press Freedom Day by the UN General Assembly in 1993. It commemorates the basic principles of press freedom, evaluates press freedom around the world, defends the media from attacks on their independence, and honors journalists who have lost their lives in conducting their duties. I learned today in history with May 3, 2006, an Airbus plane belonging to an Armenian airline crashes into the Black Sea. On May 3, 2006, an Airbus A320-200 belonging to the Armenian airline Armavia crashed into the Black Sea near the Russian city of Sochi. The plane flew from Zvartnots city, Armenia, to Sochi. It attempted to land on the runway at Sochi International Airport but aborted and attempted a re-landing before crashing into the sea. 113 passengers on board the plane died in the incident. The accident was the first major commercial aviation accident in 2006.
Home, sweet home, I'm coming home, I'm coming home.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia pushes Jordan to open agriculture export investment market access. The Indonesian government through the Agriculture Ministry pushes the Jordan government to strengthen investment cooperation both in opening export market access and developing manpower of the agriculture sector. As quoted by Antara Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday stated that he had received an official visit of Jordan Ambassador to Indonesia Sutki Al-Omush at the Agriculture Ministry headquarters. Minister Amran further remarked that the Indonesian government welcomed the intention of the Jordan government to immediately sign the Memorandum of Understanding. The Indonesian Agriculture Ministry will therefore coordinate further with Foreign Affairs Ministry for document finalization. Minister Andi Amran believes the Indonesia-Jordan cooperation will be very strategic considering the global challenges are currently not in a good situation. He also said that the Indonesian government wished with the MOU signing, Indonesia could cooperate tighter to face the ever more difficult future agriculture development challenges such as climate change, geopolitical tension, COVID-19 impact, and population growth. The Agriculture Ministry saw the total trade value of Indonesian-Jordan agriculture commodities is still relatively small with $26.12 million. He expects there will be an increase in export of some top commodities such as CPO, coffee, cacao, tropical fruits, and livestock products. Minister Amran also asked for support from the Jordan ambassador to help in facilitating the market access for Indonesian agriculture commodities to Jordan. Minister Amran also explained that the Agriculture Ministry keeps focusing on increasing rice and corn production as Indonesia's future commodities, one of which is by creating a quick solution to anticipate El Nino with pumping teh and swamp land processing optimization. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. If you travel to Magelang, Central Java, you will see the magnificent Borobudur Temple. However, Borobudur Temple is not the only interesting place to visit in the area. Not far from Borobudur Temple, there is a beautiful tourism village called Candi Rejo Tourism Village. Candi Rejo Tourism Village is located in Borobudur sub-district Magelang. Having a panoramic view of Mount Menoreh, the village which was originally a transit and stay place for tourists when going to Borobudur Temple, is now transformed into a new destination. Candi Rejo Tourist Village is located on the slopes of the mountain. In the southern part of the village, there is a beautiful and green natural landscape called Menoreh Hills. If you want an exciting and different experience, please try hunting for sunrise views around the Menoreh Hills, precisely at a spot called Watu Kendil. In addition to hunting for amazing panoramas, while exploring this hill, you will also be introduced to the traditional farming system typical of the Menoreh community, namely intercropping. The intercropping farming system allows one land to be filled with not just one, but many types of plants. If you like a challenge, try off-road tours. Candi Rejo Tourism Village offers off-road tours through roads with hilly contours in the Menoreh region, crossing the Progo River and ending at the Watu Kendil spot. Then, for those of you who like fishing in Candi Rejo Tourism Village, there is a traditional fishing system using a trap called bronjong. Interestingly, the fishing location is in the river. You can feel a new and super exciting experience while catching fish using nets. Listener, if you travel to Candi Rejo, please don't forget to taste its culinary specialties. One of them is manggut. The dish is made from beong fish, which is endemic to the Progo River, and cooked with coconut milk and savory yellow spices. When you return home, don't forget to buy some souvenirs such as stone carvings. Local people carve andesite stones left over from the eruption of Mount Merapi to make puppetry motifs, stupas, and cobek or mortar. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Menepikan perasaan Burung bukan ekoku, namun sayapku remuk. Bila ku tanya pada diriku, mengapa aku bertahan menerima keadaan yang tak baik saja, memaksakan segalanya.
Soal kita, Del.
Justru itu, kau bisa jalan hubungan tanpa perasaan.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Indonesian robotics team that won Robo Games 2024 in San Francisco, United States. In the event held on April 15 to the 23rd, 2024, Indonesia won 1 gold medal, 5 silver, and 3 bronze. Robo Games is an annual world-class robotics competition. There are 50 types of robotics competitions joined by participants from many countries. Robo Games was dubbed the world's largest robot competition in the Guinness Book of World Records. This year's Robo Games was the 16th edition. Indonesia was represented by members of Universitas Komputer Indonesia Bandung West Java Robotics Division. They were Taufik Iskandar, Nawaf Saiful Anwar, and Dinar Maulana. The team was grateful to participate and win. This was the latest participation of Indonesia after not joining RoboGames during the COVID-19 pandemic. The robot in the competition was a result of robotics research by electrical engineering and informatics engineering students of Unicom Bandung. Listener, one of the team member, Nuzwir, said the competition was an event to test their product, while improving a competitive and globally tested research culture. The success of Indonesian robotics team at Robo Games 2024 was witnessed directly by the Indonesian Consul General in San Francisco. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany about Indonesia winning 9 medals at Robo Games 2024. Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Jambi entitled Dagang Manumpang, which is also popular with the title Cik Minah. The word Cik Minah is taken from the lyric of the songs. Dagang Manumpang has been more popularized since it was sung by Zulkifli Nurdin in 20s. At the time, Zulkifli Nurdin was the governor of Jambi. The lyric of Dagang Manumpang tells the story of the trader traveling from one village to another to sell his wares. Apart from its distinctive rhythm, this song also contains a deep moral message. Here is Dagang Manumpang from Jambi to be sung by Vasco Band. And you're listening to the song.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.